comes from.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. This is Harriet Westmore with the More Wine and Music podcast, the podcast where I discuss music genre over a glass of wine. I'd like to welcome you on a Friday night. I hope everybody is doing well on a Friday. I was in another platform trying to go live through that platform, and it's still not working for me. I don't know what is going on, but nevertheless, we're going to keep it moving. All right. So anyone that is here tonight, please hit that like and subscribe. Hi, Auntie. I'm glad you are here tonight. Please hit that like and share the podcast and the broadcast with someone else. Okay. Before we get started, I do have t-shirts for my other business. I am a natural woman t-shirts. I do have that half actually in stock here available for local buyers. If you're interested in getting a I am a natural woman t-shirt. Matter of fact, let me show you. Very nice quality t-shirt. It's a Gildan quality, which is, you know, personally pretty good. And it kind of stretches, so it gives you some wiggle room in there. So if you're interested in purchasing one from me, I'll make sure that you get it. And it's $15. Okay. I do have two smalls, two mediums, two large, and one extra large. All right, so let's get started for tonight's episode number 2 of the season 2 of the jazz genre. So today I wanted to discuss one of the early innovators of the jazz music, which is Jelly Roll Morton. He was one of them. He wasn't the actual first person, but he was one of the earlier jazz artists who created the jazz sound. So Ferdinand Joseph Lamothe was born on October 20th, either 1890 or 1885, depending on which source you want to go with. Again, you know, back then the dates, birth dates and everything of certain artists were always in controversy. No one really knows, you know, the true dates of a lot of these artists. But he was born in New Orleans. He was the son of a mixed Creole parents. And if anybody doesn't know what Creole is, it's a mixture of African, French, and Spanish heritage. So he came from that, his parents were of mixed heritage. For some reason, he took his stepfather's last name. There's nothing really known about his parents per se. So I'm assuming that his biological father wasn't around, or maybe he passed away and his mother decided to remarry with a guy named, last name is Morton. And so Jelly Roll decided to take his stepdad's last name. At the age of 10 or at the age of 8, depending on, again, the source, he began playing the piano. And he actually started playing the piano in the red light district. And if anybody who knows about New Orleans, the red light district is the area where there was a lot of prostitutions, or down what they call it, bordellos. So at age 8 in 10 or age, you know, still young. He was playing, he taught himself how to play the piano. And I guess he was good enough to where he started playing in a lot of these areas, seedy areas in the red light district at 8 years old. So this young man has seen a lot at his, at a very, very early age. It was there that he received his nickname Jelly Roll, because he was able to blend the style of ragtime and the blues in his piano playing. So being able to infuse both of those type of sounds, people started nicknaming him Jelly Roll. So hereinafter, this is what I'm going to refer him as. When he became a teenager, I guess he had enough of the red light scene. As a teenager, he decided to leave New Orleans, and he became a music performer in vaudeville, which was part of the minstrel shows. So he became, you know, during his teenage years, he became to play for those type of shows, and he was a pimp. He became a gambler. He was a pimp and a musician. So he seemed to live a very fast life at a very young age. If you see a picture of him, he's very nice looking. He was a very nice looking man. And so I guess he used his good looks, you know, just, you know, to become a pimp. And I think in some sources said that he was actually was in jail for a little bit, but obviously it didn't stop him from composing and making music. So after leaving, you know, the New Orleans area, and while doing so, of being a pimp and a gambler and a womanizer, he made his way out to Los Angeles, and he stayed out there for about 5 years. But his really mark was made when he moved from Los Angeles to Chicago. It was in Chicago in 1922 that he started to produce and started to hone in his craft of what's now known as jazz. His first earlier recordings, he had a 7-piece band, and they were called the Red Hot Peppers, Jelly Morton and Red Hot Peppers. And it consisted of the horns, the drums, piano, of which he played, and there wasn't any vocals. Earlier, jazz music, you didn't have vocals. You just had the instruments and playing instrumental music. He was able to compose a piece that incorporated the swing style. Like I said, he had the ragtime and blues, and he up-tempoed the beat. So it was like a swing type jazz style, a swing, you know, tone to it. And he pretty much kept to his roots in New Orleans, because that's the style that he played. And it came from, you know, New Orleans. So he didn't deviate from that type of style. So he maintained his roots and, you know, keeping that swing beat when he composes music. His first hit was called the Black Bottom Stomp and Smokehouse Blues. And it was that swing and that tone was later patterned by upcoming artists later on down the road. But he remained in that band. The band was doing pretty good for 4 years in Chicago. And so He left them 4 years later from 26 to around 1930. Around 1930, he went to Kansas City and he wrote the song Kansas City Stomp and Tank Down Bump. Again, he kept that New Orleans style. He kept his roots. He stayed close to his roots of that swing style. And over time, while it was good, it started to wear off because you're starting to have more upcoming artists who used his style as a foundation, but they built upon it. And after a while, that swing style became, you know, kind of outdated. And so after, you know, things started to kind of wear off as far as him performing, because I mean, new songs, new sounds were coming, you know, were the up and coming. So of course, you know, after a while it gets left by the wayside. It's like, when you, like in the 60s, a lot of that, when you first start, well, the 50s into this early 60s, you had that, you know, that doo-wop, you know, sock hop type, you know, innocent type songs and stuff. And then after a while, you know, it gets played out. Over time, people wanted to, you know, you got a group or a singer that wanted to push the envelope a little farther. And so that gained more audience. And so that doo-wop, you know, sock hop type music was starting to, you know, it was getting played out. People wanted more progressive and more aggressive style music. And that was the same thing that happened to Jelly Roll. And as a result, during the beginning of the Depression years, which was like in the late 20s and into the 30s, he kind of fell off in the wayside. So, however, in 1938, Jelly Roll met the folklorist Alan Lomax. Alan Lomax was basically responsible for recording a lot of the early blues genre. So he would go, you know, he wanted to capture that sound. So he would go down south and find these musicians, country musicians, and he would record their music. So that's what Alan Lomax was known for. And Jelly Roll was able to meet up with him. And from that, Jelly Roll was kind of coming back a little bit. It kind of re-energized the interest, the public interest of his music because of Alan Lomax. And he was invited to come to New York and do some composing and do some recording with some of these side artists, such as Sidney Beckett, Red Allen, and Albert Nicholas. I mean, these were band music musicians, and Jelly Roll was able to record some songs with them. Unfortunately, it didn't really go anywhere. I mean, it wasn't as popular. The songs weren't really catching on to the audience, or either that, or again, it was, you know, still behind time. So he wasn't able to regain his fame like he had in the early turn of the century, of the 20th century into the early 20s. So he pretty much was kind of dropped by the wayside. But, you know, as depressive as that was, he was determined. He was trying his best to try to make a comeback. And so he decided to leave New York and go back to Los Angeles. Well, he's, you know, figure, well, if I can't make it in New York, maybe I'll, you know, try my luck again in Los Angeles. So he went back in Los Angeles around the early 40s. And however, unfortunately, he was in bad health. I couldn't find what exactly was his ailment. It could be a combination of things. But in October 10th of 41, he passed away. He was in Los Angeles, and he was only 50 years old when he passed away. So, I'm sorry. Let me change the date. He was born in October. He died July 10th. So July 10th of 1941, Ferdinand Joseph Lamont, a.k.a. Jelly Roll Morton, passed away at the age of 50 for bad health reasons. And it's ironic, as usual, as most often early artists is, they didn't get their just dues until after. Usually they don't get their just dues in recognition until after they're dead. And Jelly Roll was no exception. Years later, his music became revitalized. And in 1998, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as one of the first innovators of the jazz genre. And in 2005, he was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award for being one of the early musicians that innovated the tone and the sound of jazz. So there you have it, Jelly Roll Morton. You can go on YouTube or even Google him, and you'll see pictures of him. Like I said, he was a very handsome man, very handsome looking man. And you can listen to some of the his tunes, particularly the Black Bottom Stomp. And when you listen to it, it sounds it is that early turn of the 20th century style of music. But I mean, again, no one else was doing that before him. And even ragtime was different. Ragtime style was different. I mean, it was an infusion of ragtime and blues. He just up the tempo. So that was that's who he was. So anybody have any other artists that they would like for me to research and talk about? Again, let me know. Just go on to www.morewineandmusic.com and leave a comment and leave some suggestions. My source for this biography of Jelly Roll Morton was from biography.com. So there you have it. Next week, I'm going to be talking about Buddy Bolden. He was a early cornet player. And matter of fact, Jelly Roll had wrote a song about Buddy Bolden. Other thing I forgot to mention about Jelly Roll, a lot of people didn't want to play his music because he was actually, in some of his interviews, there was a piece that I saw on his interview. He was very, profanity, and he was very raunchy. You know, I guess that, you know, from being a pimp and, you know, working in the red light district and the brothels, you know, he was very, very open and very raunchy in some of his songs. So, you know, that may be why a lot of, even though he's recognized as one of the earlier, artists, it didn't get too many play all around the world because of his language. I was listening to it earlier today and I was like, oh, he would say some, you know, raunchy stuff. So, you know, that's the interesting fact about him. But he did write a song about Buddy Bolden. And so I'll be talking about him next week. So stay tuned. And happy 4th. And again, if you're interested in purchasing a t-shirt, locally, I do have some in stock. I have them here. And I will make sure, Auntie, if there's not a black t-shirt, I can definitely create one. And I'll order some and have it as the white style or the black. So, all right. I guess you guys, wish you guys well. Wish you guys happy Friday night. Okay. And you guys have a nice night. All right. Good night.